I want us to start with a question. And I want to turn to the person. I want you to turn to the guy next to you. And I want you to tell that guy, why are you following Christ? That's a tough question, eh? You can think about it a bit. Why are you in the church? Why are you a Christian? You could have been anything else. Why have you chosen to be a Christian? So just quickly turn to the person next to you. And if you don't have an answer, that's okay. You can say, I don't have an answer. Then I trust tonight you will have an answer. Okay, so guys, for those who don't know, I have been to India before, 1 week ago. 1 week ago. Who of you have been to India? Raise your hand if you've been to India. Yay, there's two guys. Okay, so India is a really incredible country. I have been to many countries now in my life, mostly in Africa, and I've been to Europe. I just want to say the gospel takes you places. So if you want to get your passport full, start going on missions. It's also a good way to have an excuse. Oh, I want to go on a mission. You know, but then you see the country also. That's a bonus. But that's not why we are going. We're going to share the gospel to the people. All right. But then anyway, so I've been to India, and it's an incredible country, guys. It blew my mind. I came there. I remembered we flew in an airplane, and then the pilot says, okay, we're going to land in India now. We are almost about to land in India. And I look out of the window, and I saw, oh, the sun is shining and the clouds, and it was very beautiful. And then as we went down and down, I just saw darkness. As we went through all the pollution and all the smoke and all the whatever it may be, it was dark in Delhi. We came from light into dark. I thought, whoa, Jesus, are we in the darkness now? What's going on? So just that is just to give you a brief introduction that India is really dirty and there's very bad smells when you walk in the streets. You see lots of things you don't want to see always, and you smell things that you don't want to smell, and then you just say, Lord, I have died to myself. I am dead to myself. I remember we came back from, so we landed in Delhi, and then the guy said, oh no, it's only 300 kilometers until the place where you're going to sleep. Said, oh, that's 3 hours. Come on. So 12 hours later, we arrived at the place where we're going to sleep. I just the whole time I said, Lord, I just died to myself and to how I want to feel. And and then the same when we came back the day, the morning we started traveling back until the evening we landed in Johannesburg was 40 hours. We traveled on stop. We didn't stop anywhere. And then you get tested. Then you get tested, Lord. Then you'll see when you go on missions, there's lots of selfish stuff coming up. Oh, I don't want my hands to be dirty. I don't want to see all the sand. I don't want to, oh, it's hot. And my friend, he langs my eet, say, like a curry, with say, hande. And then you have to just say, give me a piece. No, you don't say that. Otherwise, it will burn you. But, but then when we came back, we were in a train, and the guy said to us, listen, you have to book your spot way in advance. Otherwise, you will not get a space on the train. So we thought, oh, cool. Okay, so it's a nice train, you know. We got there at the train, and same way, it was 300 kilometers. It took us 8 hours to drive with the train, 300 kilometers. And then every time we stop, there just comes more people on the train and more people, and you sit like this and they squeeze next to you and they stand in the rows and they stand at the doors, they stand in front of the windows, and it's very hot. But then you just say, Lord, hallelujah, I have died with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That is my glory. Then you just think of all the good scriptures and you just quote them. Because you see, we need to come to a place where we can completely say, Lord, I'm dead. And the Lord, that is the greatest things of missions. That's why I want to encourage you guys. If you're not going on a mission, come on a mission because you died to yourself. You will see many things. I can ask many people here tonight that's been on missions with me. They can tell you really lots of stories how you need to die to yourself. It's not about luxury anymore. It's not about nice bed. We came there to the place, and we said, wow, there's beds. Cool. Okay. And then I lift up the blanket and I saw there's wood. So it was only a wood with a blanket. That was our bed. A plank. What is it? Plank. Yes, a big plank. So there again, you have to say, so we took the bubble wrap because we took lots of gifts and we tied the bubble wraps around our waist because if you sleep, your waist becomes dead. Every night I woke up, then my arm was dead and this arm was dead and then I had to shake it and then I went to bed again. But guys, that is the greatest thing for us to go on missions. You see lots of stuff. I had to pray for my stomach every day because you eat lots of hot things. It's just hot, spicy, very hot. But we took probiotics. We drank that every morning so that our stomach wander kan net bietjie chill. Okay. The one guy, but I'm not going to tell his name. So he also been on missions a lot to India. And he said the ones he was there, his stomach, it was just going like, he couldn't stop it. And he was preaching. And while he was preaching, he just felt something goes against his leg. Oh, and then he just said, and that is the end of my sermon. And he walked like this. And he called the other guy to come and do the altar call. And he went to the bathroom. Okay, but praise the Lord, that didn't help. That didn't happen to us. Now, the reason I'm telling you this story is this is what God has called for each one of us. Now, there's a photo you'll see of many of the people there that's been, that came to our conference. And just quickly, Shofar is part of a Himalayan network. So that means in India and Bhutan and China and Nepal, all these countries, there's lots of pastors. And once a year we get them, everybody comes together and then we equip them, we teach them, we encourage them, we just love them. And the greatest thing for me as someone coming out of a country that's really free and I can worship Jesus, you know, wherever I come, the topic of the conference was persecution and martyrdom in the modern age church. Now, if you will have a conference like that in Bloemfontein, I think there will be, who of you will attend that conference? Almost none, eh? So, the stuff is real there, guys. This isn't, there it's real. There the Lord is working. There His power is manifesting wherever we go. So, I saw the topic and I thought, wow, okay, this is interesting. And then the people just started sharing their testimonies. And the one girl, she's from Bhutan. She's 26 years old and she's already planted 7 churches. Now, I thought, yeah, that is my wife. I'm going to marry that. I told the one guy, yo, maybe I must just have some chats with her, you know. Because she's so spiritual, but then I realized, no, I'm not spiritual enough for her because she's way far beyond me. And then I just said, no, I'll rather marry a Pura Macy in South Africa. It'd be good. That can make me lekker kos and wash the dishes. And that's why I was you all here, ne? I'm joking. That's really a joke. Don't be offended, okay? All the girls, we love you. We want you to be great. Wives for husbands one day. You will be awesome mothers and great husbands. Especially if you love Jesus. It's just amazing. Anyway, so this one girl, she said, and she started. And she just started how they started their church. And this church started while her mother started the church. And she was very ill. She was on her deathbed. And she said the following, Lord Jesus, if you are real, come and heal me and I will lay down my life for you and I will serve you for the rest of my life. What happened? She got healed. Okay? The Lord hears when we call out to Him. And she started the church and then her daughter, they are now in this ministry. And then all of a sudden she just started weeping. Guys, she started crying uncontrollably and she just started crying. And we were like, oh, what now? And she said, I pray for the days when there was still persecution in the churches to come back. And we're like, what? How can you say that? She said, because when there was persecution, the people loved Christ. The people were on their knees every morning. They were crying. They said, Lord, I cannot go out of my house if you do not come with me. I cannot go into the shop if you do not come with me. And that shook me. That totally shook me. And then she went on and she said, for many years there were great persecution in the churches. And then the government, one day, the government over national television made the following statement. They said, we are going to take the persecution away from the church. Because we have been looking into church history and we see whenever there's persecution, the church grows. Wherever there's persecution in a country, there's becoming more Christians. So they said, we're going to take away the persecution. Because if we look into the history of the church, if there's not persecution, we leave the Christians. We will leave the Christians into their own hands. And from in them, they will start to rot. And they will just become complacent. They will just become passive. So it's better if there's not persecution, because then the church will not grow. And that is why she cried. Because that's exactly what's going on now in their country. There's no more persecution. So the church is just a lekker, away, lekker church, kerk, klaar met kerk, gaan aan met my lewe. And that shook my life completely. And I said, Lord, I don't have an idea what this woman is speaking about. Yeah, we have it so easy. We can worship, we can put our music on, we can do whatever we do. And I trust the Lord that He will come. Because Scripture says, if you follow me, persecution will come. Now I ask myself that question, Lord, but am I then really following you? Because I don't really see persecution in my life. Scripture says, if you follow me, persecution will come. And I trust the Lord tonight. That's why I ask you the question. Why are you following Christ? Are you following Christ so that yourself may be benefit, so that I can have a greater experience in my life, so that I can live greater? Or am I following Christ because I've come to a place where I lay down my life, and that's all that I can do is give my life? And we see this very clearly in Scripture. And I want us to open our Bibles in Romans 12. If you have your Bible here, please open your Bible in Romans 12. So tonight, some of our boats will be a bit shaken. But that's good. I was shaken. I was said, Lord, oh my word, what am I doing? Waarom is ek besig? If I look to that people, there's the one guy, his name is Pastor Anand. He's from Nepal. Now, you've heard about the earthquakes that were in Nepal. And they were in Kathmandu. That's one of the main cities in Nepal where the earthquake was. And they were busy worshiping the Lord. They were there at church, actually. And then, all of a sudden, the Lord spoke so clearly to him. And it says, I want you to tell your church, everybody needs to sit on the floor and no one can go out of the doors. And immediately after that, the earthquake came. And he told me, it looked like the walls were made of jelly. Everything was bending. The roof was bending. The floor was bending. We were all going like this. And after the earthquake, he went outside of the church and he opened the doors. And all that he could see was just bricks and roofs, and the town was just under chaos. And his church was the only building standing, still remained after the earthquake. And then I'm like, what? God, you're so real. You're so real. Sure. All right, let's read this. Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Everybody say, living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Everybody says, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Whoa, so this is not really one of that scriptures we want to put on our mirror and we look every day and say, oh Lord, I'm going to be a sacrifice, it's not about myself. This is a tough one. I just want to quickly give you some background. If we read the book of Romans, it's one of the most precious books. I love that book really a lot. And we see the gospel throughout the whole book of Romans. And it starts in the first chapters, it starts about how unrighteous we are and how we do not make it. Romans 3 verse 26 says, for we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we go on throughout the book. Then we see how the justification came. Now, justification means just if I had never sinned. That's just a short version of justification. We see how it comes through Jesus, through what he has done for us, through how he loved us, through the cross, through the blood, through the... And then we see how God... how he deals with Israel, and they do not see this, and they were in the vine, but now they're out of the stuff, and then at the end, we see, but now when we've read all this great gospel, and we've read about how good God is, and about his greatness, then the last chapter speaks about, now what must we do? We've seen all these things, we've seen the cross, we've seen that we were far from God, we didn't make it, that we all deserve to go to hell for the rest of our lives. But because of God's greatness, because of his mercies, now Paul says, but now I appeal to you. Okay? It's like, it's a very strong command. It's like when we go to battle and the people come and says, hey, there's a battle, you come with me. That's the same appeal word that he used there. Now I appeal to you. What must you do? Become a living sacrifice unto God. Wow. So, The first thing I just want to quickly say, if you didn't know that, that your life does not belong to yourself. Who knew that? Raise your hand if you knew that. Okay? And everything that you have, all your money, all your stuff, does not belong to you. It belongs to God because you are God's. Amen? And Christ lives in you. And if Christ is in you, then you are dead to yourself. Galatians 2 verse 20. Says the following, I have been crucified with Christ. Everybody says, I have been crucified. I have been crucified. What does that mean if you are crucified? You are dead. Okay? So that scripture says, I have been crucified. So it means I am dead. And it goes on, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live unto him to give him glory. So, that scripture is that's a cool scripture. You can learn that scripture. I had to say that many times when I was in the train in Delhi, in India. Okay. But that means that we don't see dead people walking around. Ne? All the dead people are in the grave. Have you seen dead people walking around? Have you seen dead people going to the supermarket and buying some beer or like a milk and bread? Have you seen dead people driving in their cars and combing their hair? What does girls do? Nailing, whatever you do. I've never seen that. So it means that if you're dead, then there's somebody else living, okay? If I am dead, then there's someone else living. So who is living now in my life? Who is living my life? Jesus, right? So that means everything that I do... it is now for Jesus. It's for him. It's to glorify him. Hebrews or 1 Corinthians 8 verse 6 says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all are things, and through whom we live. We live and have our being. Just the previous scripture in Romans 11 verse 36, just before Paul starts with the new chapter, he says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. To him and unto him and upon him and under him and along him, everything to him, okay? Everything belongs to God. We belong to God, okay? And that is why, that is what is a Christ, that is a disciple. That is someone that follows Christ. Scripture says, if you follow me, you must pick up your cross and deny yourself. That means that you deny yourself. You deny who you are and what your desires are and what you want because you have picked up your cross and you're following Christ. Right. So, let's go back to Romans 12. That part says, I appeal to you, brothers, therefore, by the mercies of God. Now, we've seen about the mercies of God, and that is now the response. Lord, I've seen now your goodness. I've seen how great you are. What is your response now towards the mercies of God? Then Paul says the following. He said, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Because we have seen the mercies of God, right? Do you understand that, what I'm saying? Answer, you're like, Baya. It says, because all the mercies, now the mercies of God, I just want to read, I went through chapter 1 until chapter 11. Listen, this is the mercies of God. Eternal love, eternal grace, the Holy Spirit, everlasting peace, eternal joy, saving faith, comfort, strength, wisdom, hope, patience, kindness, joy, honor, glory, righteousness, security, eternal love, forgiveness, reconciliation, justification, sanctification, freedom, resurrection, sonship, and ongoing intercession. And it goes on and on and on. This is the mercies of God. Mercy is to receive something that you do not owe. You cannot get it. You deserve to go to hell. But because of God's grace and His mercy, He gives you this. Okay? Now Paul says, because of all these wonderful things, because of Jesus and because of His blood and because of what He has done for us, now he says, I want you to be a living sacrifice unto me. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? Basically what it means is to present your body, to give a sacrifice. In the Old Testament, what they would do is they will take goats and doves and, you know, small animals, and they would take it to the priest, and then they will put it, they will give it to the priest, and then the priest will kill it, and it will be sacrificed to God. So they will put it on the altar, they had this altar, and then they will burn it until there's nothing left, all right? So to be a living sacrifice means that you give to God, and you let go. Okay? That is a sacrifice. You give. Say, Lord, here's my life. And I let go. I've given it to you. Now it's yours. Alright? That is what it means to be a sacrifice. Because of God's goodness. Because of His grace. Because of His mercies. But I want to say it will cost us something. To be a sacrifice. And to live as a sacrifice to God. It costs us something. Now quickly look at the definition of narcissism. Who've heard about narcissism? Yeah, okay. This is very good. Listen. Excessive interest in or admiration of oneself and one's physical appearance. Whoa. Okay. Extreme selfishness with a grandiose view of one's own talents and a craving for admiration as characterizing a personality type. So if we look at sacrifice and we look at narcissism, they are completely opposite each other. The one you just want to be, you just want to feel better about yourself. You just want to look good, better. You want to feel better. You want to be better. And being a sacrifice is where you give and you let go. Lord, I'm giving you. You know what? To give God a sacrifice, living a sacrifice is the following. You say, Lord, I'm giving you my best time. I don't want you to have only the 10 minutes before I sleep. That is a sacrifice. Where you give God the best time. Because He deserves the best time of your day. Right? So, quickly, just want to read you Romans 6 verse 12. Romans 6 verse 12. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Okay? God says, don't present your body as for sin, the pleasures of this world, but present it as instruments of righteousness to God. That is how we present our worship and our lives. Now, to give a sacrifice is part of worship. Now, for many years in my life, I thought that worship is what we did tonight. There's a band, nice people that sing, the lights. No, oh, I feel the presence of God. It's awesome. That is worship. But why do you think this scripture says, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship? To live a sacrificial life to God, it is worship. That is worship. Worship is in where my spirit is. Okay? That is the place where worship comes from, and that's a place where it goes out. It's from what is in my spirit. Right? It is in my soul. If I go into Pick and Pay, there I worship. Because Jesus, I've seen the mercies of God, I've seen His goodness, and that revelation is in my spirit. Prediker sê, wat ook al die hart van vol is, loop die mond van oor. Het jy al dit gehoor? We heard that. Whatever the heart is full, the mouth overflows. Okay? So if we are full of Jesus, and we are full of Him, and we are full of His love, then it will automatically flow out of our lives. Now, I realized this when we were in India. Now, when you meet someone for the first time, what is the first thing that they will say to you? Now, if they do CrossFit, they will say, "Hey, my name is Jacobus, I do CrossFit." If he wasn't gray, he'll say, "Hey, my name is Jacobus, I was a gray." Okay? And then they will, ch-ch. How? And I thought about it, and that's very weird, actually. Why isn't it the first thing that you say, "Hey, my name is Jacobus, and I believe in Jesus"? Because that is what that scripture said. If my heart is full of that, it will just come automatically. And I thought about, I don't say you have to go to everybody and say, "Hey, my name is Jacobus, and I believe in Jesus." But that's just a principle. Why is it so easy that we say, "Yo, ek swat medies. Dra my wit jassie lekker. Ek's 'n mediese student." I have been many times, sorry, Betty. But I know how it is. It's really true. Come on, guys who doesn't study medicine, you can see just the houding when they walk with their white jackets there on campus. Okay? We find our identity in the things that we do, and we do not find our identity in who Christ is and who already said we are going to be. Okay? We are so dependent on, this is what I'm doing in my life. But what happens when that is taken away? What happens if there's no more money and you cannot go on studying medicine? What is your identity then? What will determine your identity then? If you don't have lots of money anymore and you don't have a good car and you were always known as the guy in the town with all the money and the big house and the great car, but what happens if all your money goes and all your cars goes? Who will you be then? Who will the people know you then? And that's the greatest thing, that we can always be secured as sons and daughters of God. That is who we are. Firstly, I'm a son of God, and I'm here to live for Him. Amen? Stop allowing the world to determine who you are. Do not be conformed to this world. That is what the next part says of the scripture. Do not be conformed by this world. Don't let the world tell you how you must live, and how you must dress, and how you must eat, and how you must... Oprah, 10 steps how to feel better about yourself. So you go through all the 10 steps, and then 3 seconds you feel better about yourself, and then you just, 10 steps how to become a better person. All these steps. Come on, guys, that's nonsense. Why don't we go to the Bible? There it speaks about it. There it speaks about joy that is everlasting. I want that. I don't want just 10 steps, because then I have to do something to get to the 10th step. And if I just say, "Thank you, Lord, for your joy," then I have it forever and ever. It's everlasting, right? That is what the scripture says. Present yourself as living sacrifices and do not be conformed. He says, Paul says, how you can live not, he says, if you don't, if you want to live a sacrificial life of worship to God, then do not be conformed to this world. That is the key. Okay? Now, the key, that word is paris. That word is sunche matizo. That's Greek. It sounds Chinese, but it's Greek. Greek. What? Setirach. Greek. Okay. And it is derived from the word schematic. And so literally, actually what it means, it says, stop allowing, you could translate it in saying, stop allowing yourself to be molded by the world. Okay, because that world is like when you take a metal and you have like, you know, when you take the beeste, the brand most beeste meroi, die ding. That metal thing, then it's JB, you know, what the Buddha, that is actually what it says. Stop allowing that the world will burn and says, this is how you live to live. This is how you need to do this. This is how you need to feed your dogs. This is how you need to change your baby's diaper. Okay? But start letting the word determine how we live. Start letting the word of God comes in our lives and determine how we will live. Because if we live in the word of God, we will see the truth. We will see the truth and the truth will set us free. That is what scripture says. Right? And that's one of the things that the Lord also just challenged me a lot on when I was in India. I have 10 minutes left. Thank you. I've been struggling. Yes, guys. I know we've all been there. I'm just confessing that I've really been struggling to spend time with God. I've struggled to read my Bible and to pray. The Lord just... Then I just... Oh, Lord... It's going so bad in my life and there's so many stuff and all the hurts and all the stuff. And then the Lord just every time says, but come back into my word. I said, no, that cannot be the Lord saying that to me. I am almost reading my Bible quickly. Not really. But then the Lord just really spoke so clearly to me about that in India. Guys, I just want to testify. When I came back from India, guys, I spent time with the Lord. Smith Wigglesworth, he was one of the greatest fathers of faith. You know what he did? He prayed for people for healing, and he would be like angry for that sickness. And he will take the person, and if the person is deaf, he will like hit them on the ear until he can hear. And if the people are dead, he rose like almost 100 people out of the dead. Then he will take that body against the wall and he will say, be alive in Jesus' name. Then he let go of the body and he falls on the floor. Then he will pick up the body again. Be alive in Jesus' name. And then eventually I think that body must just become alive then because it really experiences pain. while it was dead. But now Smith Wigglesworth, he really knew the key. So he said, if I know my day is going to be busy, very busy, what do we do when we know our day is busy? Okay, Lord, just quickly going to read. Oh, okay, wow, I'm a conqueror. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for being a conqueror. Okay, I can go on for that. All right. But Smith Wigglesworth, he did it the other way. He said, if he knew that his day is going to be very busy, he spent extra time with God. So it means he woke up very early, most earlier, earlier in the morning. How do you say that? Earlier in the morning, and then he spent time with God. All right, and that was his key. And I really came. I haven't been there, but I saw this week. They really happened. I heard lots of. It wasn't that great week for me actually, but the time with God was just amazing. Every morning, just worshiping Him and praying. And that is what it is to sacrifice something. I have to sacrifice my sleep so that I can come to God. Okay? I need to give up something. I need to lay down something. I want to sleep further. Okay? I am tired and it's cold. I don't want to get up early. But to be a living sacrifice means I have to sacrifice my sleep so that I can become, so that I can spend time with God, so that I can spend time in His Word. That is what it is to be a living sacrifice. I know my day is going to be very full. I know I have many tests, I have many classes, I have to go to gym and I have to do all these things. But I am a living sacrifice. So I will ensure that I will make time in this day. Although I don't have time, I had to study. Yo, I'm writing a big test tomorrow. But I'm going to sacrifice my time to study. And I'm going to spend time with God. Because that is what He requires. And that must come always first in our life. In the Old Testament, we see many times where they speak about first fruit. And what it means actually is, when you plant many apples, or you have many trees of apples, then you will walk through all the trees and you will go and look for the best apples. Okay? And they will put the apples in your basket and then you will give that as an offering to God. That is what God requires. We have 12 hours in our day. The 12 of 24. Tell it it's all. Ek weet nie, like, jy het baie ure in jou dag. And God wants the best of your hour. He wants the best time of your day. Okay? Why is it always we go through all our finances and then, oh, I have 2 rand 50 left. I can give that to the church. That was no good. But that's not what first fruit is. And it's in any way, it's not even your money. It's God's money that you are just stewarding. I can go on and on. Now, I can't go on a mission this June, hey, because, yo, the semester was hectic. I need to sleep and I need the spirit of series to come upon me and then I can just lay on the couch and then the spirit of couch comes upon me. Then I just lay on the couch. We laugh, but it's true. And is that, but to go on a to go on a mission will cost me something. Oh, and I don't have the money. I don't have the time. But Scripture says, become a living sacrifice. It will cost you something. It will take from you to go on a mission. Okay? It will take from your time to wake up early in the morning to spend time with God, because Scripture says that will be a sacrifice. We need to sacrifice our own feelings and our own agenda and the stuff that we want. It's not about that anymore, guys. And I'm preaching to myself tonight, really. This is something that the Lord has convicted me about, and I just need to. I cannot just hold it. I will run in the mountains. We need to hear this word, and I know it's a tough word. It's really a tough word, eh? But praise the Lord, He's good. And then the last word says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The way we renew our mind is by spending time in the Word of God. That's the way that we renew our mind. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We have been called to be transformed into the very same image of Jesus Christ. And if I look into the mirror, how much do I see of myself still? If I look into the mirror, or do I see Christ in my life? When I drive in the street and I see the beggar, now I also get really a lot irritated sometimes with the people, but what are they seeing in my life? Are they seeing Christ, or are they seeing just another guy closing your window? Don't forget me. And I want us all to stand tonight while the band comes up. So, this has been a tough word, eh? Amen? Who agrees with me? It's a tough word. It's hard to swallow. But are we going to live again according to the world and what the world standards are? Or are we going to say, yes, Lord, I see I'm glad you're so excited about this word. Or are we going to say, Lord, I see that I'm going to live according to your word, and I'm going to live according to what you say in your word. This is what you're calling me to, and baby steps is fine. And on this note, I really want to encourage you guys. Those who are, it's exams now, I know how it is, it's not a lot. You have really free time. Come to the basic in discipleship every Tuesday and Thursday. Come, learn. Learn how to hear the voice of God. Learn to live a sacrificial life unto God. Come on, guys. We cannot just be a part of this Western world where we do not know. And this Western church where everything is just grace and prosperity and all about yourself. God has called us to a different place. Amen. And I want to be part of that. I want to be in the place of just, Lord, here's my life. And I let go. I let go of all my dreams. I let go of all my desires. And I want this wife and I want this car and this house. Because the good news is, if you search God, he says, search the But be above everything. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will come. And some of us here, we think if we want to live in this place, then it means like I have to sell all my clothes and I have to sell my house and I must be this poor little Christian. That's not what it is. That's exactly not what it is. Okay. All I want to say is, what are you seeking? What are you seeking first? Are you first seeking your own desires? And then, there at the back, the desires God has for your life.